Welcome to another episode of Spirit and Me with your host, me, psychic medium, Sean Rutherford, out of Lafayette, Louisiana. So excited to say that because growing up, there was not really a medium or anybody I knew of. And here I am in Lafayette being that medium. And now I have a podcast and I'm so excited. And dreams are coming true, people. It's a 1 year. Things are building. I am thrilled to announce another friend of mine that I have interviewing with me today. Her name is Raylan Cazalot, and she is fantastic. So I would like to introduce y'all to her today. Hey, Raylan.
Aho. Hello.
Aho. So I've known you for a little while, and it was more on like a crossing paths at different events or through as a client of mine, and you practice different things that nobody else around here practices, and that's why I was very interested in having you on my show to talk about that. So first, I'd like to talk a little bit about you and where you come from and what you do. So tell everybody a little bit about you. Are you from Lafayette, Louisiana?
I am not from Lafayette, but I've been here for 8 years. I was born in Marksville, which is occupied Avogel land, and I moved around all over the southeast region of the country when I was growing up. I moved to Lafayette to come to college, and I just fell in love with it. Just kind of stuck around for a while.
We're glad. You're such a like loving and light person. Like, you are so, every time I see you, you have this giant smile on your face. You always just seem so genuinely happy. And I mean, in a world where we deal with a lot of things that can be very depressing and sad, It's nice to see that person who genuinely carries themselves so happy. One of the things I know that you do a lot is yoga and Reiki and things like that. And we're going to get into the different things you do. But I'd like to focus in the beginning about what led you to your connection with spirit. So why don't you tell me a little bit about, and tell everyone listening, a little bit about your background and what led you to having your spiritual connection?
Yeah, well, I think for me, it came at a really early age. When I was a baby, I had a lot of, I guess you could call it, high vibrational energy in my body. And it was easily detected by my parents. But then when I was 12 years old, I was in a fatal car accident where I experienced physical death. And by the graces of the universal forces that are at work here, I came back to my body. And when I came back to my body, I had new eyes, new ears, a new heart, pretty much a whole new system, a whole new way of thinking about life, and a greater appreciation for it. And after that point, I started studying different traditions, different practices. Specifically, I started out studying the Wiccan tradition. Mm-hmm. And then I moved into more native-based traditions because I'm a part of the United Home and Nation tribe. And
wow.
So that indigenous blood has always been really strong in me. And I started seeking out the native traditions and started my practice there.
That's really cool. So that strong ancestor, ancestral connection. To a question about something you mentioned just now, you had a lot of these high vibrational energies around you that your parents could pick up. Mm-hmm. How?
Well, specifically, my parents would tell me stories of my babyhood where my mom would wake up in the middle of the night and come into my bedroom, and she would see white orbs of light coming down from the ceiling, going onto my body. And even sometimes she said that she would hear me speaking in a different language that she did not recognize.
Wow. Was that often?
Yes.
That's really cool. So leading into this near-death experience, you mentioned how you came back with new eyes, new ears. Is this metaphorical for just how you were seeing and hearing the world or perceiving it? Or did the accident cause you needing to have like transplants or something?
No, I meant that on a metaphysical sense. The accident caused me, I now have a metal rod and screws in my left femur bone. So the whole pretty much left side of my body was really torn up after that point. And it's really interesting. I kind of associate it with the divine feminine being the left side. And I think it was a reawakening process for me to accept that I'd been born as a female. Like, I needed to accept that because I'd been rejecting that my whole life up until that point.
Wow.
Like, I really felt like I was meant to be born male.
I have a few female friends of mine who are like that, but they're so I think it's a sense of strength and masculinity in that strength, which is not better or worse than the feminine. I think it's more of an aggressive, more action-based energy than where feminine is more of receiving it and letting the things happen and having willpower and trust. God's know it's hard to just sit there and trust that things will work out and not force it.
Mm-hmm.
So after their near-death experience, how was life? Do you notice the differences in your life before and after?
Oh, yes, big time. It was day and night.
Was it a perceptive thing, such as you felt energies in different things, either more empathic or more spiritually perceptive?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. After I got out of the hospital, I was seeing spirits and energies. I was able to detect things that, for whatever reason, my eyes before then had forgotten that I had the ability to see that. So in a way, I think it was like I said, a reawakening. Like I had allowed myself to not use those muscles, so to say, and those abilities for so long. And I think some sort of force had to intervene and create such a catastrophic event in my life to force me to wake up again.
Seems like force is the nicest word to use.
Yeah.
I've had a few clients where they have built up a wall so thick, spirits like, not going to be able to take this down easily. This is going to hurt. My apologies.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad to see that it has brought you to this place of light. You know, how do you feel you use it now? Where do you feel it has driven you since that near-death experience?
Well, right now, at least in this time in my life and probably for the rest of my life, I feel that movement is my greatest medicine to offer. So I do a lot of healing as far as that goes with like physical movement of the body, as well as metaphysical movement of energies with my Reiki work that I do. And I really like to promote people to couple the two together.
That's awesome. I mean, I can definitely understand how movement itself is healing and spiritual, because in metaphysics you learn that everything in life is a form of vibration, which is movement. There's nothing physical, nothing really that's really solid. It's just very slow vibration, but it's still vibrating and still moving. And so I do believe that the natural state of the universe is in movement. So I think to incorporate moving practices such as yoga or tai chi or something that you work with, which is called Nia, which we'll talk about in a little while. I think that is getting the body to more fuse up to spirit, which is that movement. And so that's very interesting. So how you said you were 12 when you had the near-death experience?
I just turned 12, yeah.
And how old are you now?
I am 25.
Wow. Well, I'm so glad that you survived that, because I think you're very important to this world. How did that spiritual awakening affect your childhood?
Do you mean like after?
How did you interact with the world spiritually after that? Because as a child, that's difficult, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I was confused by your question, because in my mind, I see that that life event being the moment where I was no longer a child. I felt afterwards that like a sense of my innocence was lost. And in multiple ways, it's like I was forced to grow up. I was forced to take care of myself. I felt really alone during that time. I started to notice what my family life was really like. And that put me in a really dark space where I felt completely alone. So that was kind of the theme of my life from 12 years old until I moved out of my family's house at 16, 17 years old. It was a really dark space, but I feel like it was really necessary for me to wake up to reality.
And I felt it was important to ask that, because I think a lot of people who are put on this path of spiritual connection have those places in their lives that tend to be dark. You know, I've mentioned in my podcast before that my youth growing up was very, very difficult because of peers and whatnot. And so there was that feeling of being alone and that sense of it's me against the world. And so what I really wanted to bring from, and I thank you for answering that and sharing that, is that I want people to understand out there that other people are going through the same thing. You know, you might be having this dark place because you're experiencing things you can't understand. But here's someone like Ray Lynn who said, no, at this time, like my world got turned upside down. You know, and I did not know where I was. But here you are, somebody who is signing a contract for a home she's renting for the first time. And she's having this, you've had this life that you've really built up coming from that. And so I think the idea of that you really are okay. It's simply a learning process is really important. So thank you for sharing that. So where do you feel you're driven in your spiritual connection now? Like, what do you feel is very important to you? Where do you feel, like for me, my drive is to be a medium and help people understand the connection to the afterlife. Where do you feel your connection comes in with that right now?
Well, for me, it's two main hitters right now that I'm seeing in my targets. So I feel really called right now to work with water, to protect waterways, and also to facilitate movement therapies for others. And I feel they do kind of go hand in hand for me personally, because I learned so much from the water, from the way it flows and the power and the force, and also how it's able to be calm and steady and keep a current flow. So for me, they go hand in hand.
And it's interesting because, you know, like you mentioned before, how movement to you so healing. If you watch anything, say on like Discovery, say with like shows like Survivor Man, when he goes out and he's surviving in the wilderness, he's always looking for water that's moving to drink, because it's clean and it's healthy to drink. And the water that's stagnant and not moving has bacteria and it's not safe to drink.
Exactly.
And so there's that physical representation of movement being healing and cleansing, and being in unmoving. Even in tarot, it comes up when you read the cups that when things get stagnant, it's not healing. But as long as that water's flowing, it's very healing. So talking about how you are very close to the water and you feel important how protecting the waterways, how do you do that? How do you do that spiritually?
Yeah. Well, I hold like prayer circles once a week here. And we have a water ceremony that we do where we gather together with the intention to send our loving vibration to the water of the earth. But more so specifically, we're working with the waters that are associated with this land here in Lafayette. So we're working with the Vermilion River, Lake Martin, all the bayous that run through this land here. And so we'll build our altar, and the centerpiece is always the water that comes from one of these waterways. And we do a ritual to pray over it. We sing, we meditate, we dance together. And then at the end of it, we bring that water back to its original source and give that love vibration to the whole waterway. But we're doing it on behalf of the water of the earth, knowing that all the waters connect at some point.
Well, that's lovely. That's beautiful. Is this something that anybody can come to?
Yes, of course. We are welcome to any and everybody joining us who comes in a good way. We don't associate our rituals with any particular religion or spiritual practice. So if anybody comes and has ideas on how we can better send that love vibration to the water, we're very open to receiving those ways.
Well, that's beautiful. And I'm glad that we have people here who are doing this just simply to do it. You know, it's not for political gain. It's not for religious gain or religious prosperity or whatever. It's about the water, and it's people coming together, regardless of your background and your path, to say, hey, we live here. This water is around us all. Let's add high vibration to it.
Exactly. Yeah.
So your other path is movement and healing. So what movement techniques do you practice?
I personally practice yoga, Nia dancing, freestyle dancing. What else do I do? Flow arts, of course. How could I forget the flow arts? So
what's that?
Flow arts is a movement dance therapy that you do with any sort of prop. So that prop could be a hula hoop, a bow staff, a set of poi, some veils. It could be your own fingers, your own body, really. You're just using different things outside of yourself and within yourself to create different shapes and flow patterns.
Oh, so is it like those videos I've seen on Facebook where the guy has those what look like giant ninja stars and he's like twirling them? That's beautiful. That's stunning. I've seen some of the hoop dancers and stuff around Lafayette. I think it's mesmerizing.
Yeah. Well, we have, I founded the Peaceful Warrior Flow Tribe, And so we get together for flow meets at the horse farm, usually on a Sunday, and we'll have like a DJ come out and provide the music, or we'll have like Bluetooth speakers synced up to provide the music. And it kind of starts in like a prayer, not a prayer way, but just in a community way, where we have a circle gathering and everybody introduces themselves to the circle and what they're here to do. And then we have open play, and then we end again in that circle to kind of share any ideas or any brief experiences that we had during the time. Because for a flow artist, it is a form of therapy. It's a form of self-expression to bring what is inside out and to share it with the world in a beautiful way.
That sounds fantastic. I'm definitely going to have to go.
Yeah.
Now, you also mentioned Nia. Mm-hmm. So what's Nia? I've never heard of Nia before meeting you. So what's Nia?
So Nia is an amazing practice that couples healing arts, dance arts, and martial arts.
Okay.
And the acronym Nia, N-I-A, stands for non-impact aerobics.
Okay.
Or this is my favorite standing for it. It means now I am.
Oh, I like that.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. Non-impact aerobics.
Yeah.
Is this something that anybody of any age can mm-hmm. practice?
Yeah, yeah. So it's designed specifically to be healing on the joints. The founders of it, Debbie and Carlos Rosas, they were aerobics teachers back in the 70s and the 80s, mm-hmm. and they were noticing that they were having a lot of injuries to their joints. So they started this, they created this practice for it to be reversing of those injuries and that harm to your joints. So it is suitable for anybody of any age at any physical capacity. You know, there are different levels of movement. So mm-hmm. each routine gives you options of how much are you going to move. And there's no wrong way to do it. There really okay. isn't.
Well, that's really cool. So with Nia, you mentioned all the different things that it incorporates. Would you talk a little bit about that again, the different styles, the different things it incorporates?
Yeah, yeah. So it involves yoga. It also involves different dancing styles, so particularly Duncan dance, jazz dancing, and modern dance. It also involves different healing arts like the Franklin method. And so it's all about keeping your body in postural alignment.
Oh, okay,
you know,
okay.
Because when you're moving, it matters a lot about how you're holding yourself while you move to prevent any injury and promote the healing.
Oh, that sounds really interesting. Is this something that I know you're going on a trip to learn more about this, and this is something that you're constantly unfolding, but are you currently doing sessions like that? Are you currently working with this with people?
I have not offered any classes yet. I'm still in the beginning stages of it. So it's like a martial arts practice where it's a belt system.
Oh, okay.
And I just went through my white belt training, and I'm still learning how to be a practitioner of it myself. So I'm waiting till I get to a certain level of confidence to be able to lead others in it, because I don't want to give anybody a bad experience of it. I want to be able to present it in the graceful way it's meant to be presented.
Oh, that's beautiful. How long have you been practicing Nia? Like you said, you're kind of just getting into it, but, was it something that was very, like when you first started doing it, was it like, oh my gosh, this is absolutely for me. I have to do this.
Yes. Yes. I never heard of it until I went to Sedona last summer in August. I took my first class and I fell in love with it. And then whenever I came back to Lafayette, I found out that there was the program happening here at Embody Zest. And I went there, and throughout the training program, anytime after our sessions ended that I was meeting up with friends outside of the program and telling them about it, I would get so excited that I was just like wanting to like turn tables over and like throw stuff, because I was just so amped up about it. Because it's like I got that immediate feeling of like, this is so beautiful and great. And also I felt that joy that comes along with you discovering part of your life purpose.
That's amazing. That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel it is healing, like on a spiritual level? How for you is it healing?
For me specifically, it's been very healing to have a structure, right? So I've been dancing my whole life, but I mostly do freestyle dancing where I just kind of get lost in the moment in the music, which is beautiful.
Absolutely.
But with Nia, you're doing specific steps, and it's a choreography, you know? And so for me to be able to tap into that part of my mind that is more masculine, more structural, is really good for me. Also, I feel specifically that Nia is teaching me how to be the woman that I want to be.
Oh, that's like, beautiful.
Just in doing the movements, I receive these instant downloads, so to say, of what it means to be the woman that I am.
So you're really balancing out that masculine and feminine.
Oh, yeah. Nia is all about that. You know, with the martial arts, it's specifically Taekwondo, Tai Chi, and Aikido, which can be very masculine, but also really feminine practices in that they're really about flowing and graceful movements. But there are points in the routine where you can be doing these, like, really crazy like chops and punches, which is something that I would never normally do in my practice. Like, I'm not going around just punching things, you know?
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, dancing and all of a sudden, yeah, punch, yeah. Bruce Lee this.
Yeah. Okay.
So throughout all of this, how do you feel your spiritual connection has evolved? How do you feel it has grown? Do you feel it's gotten stronger or better or different since your NDE, your near-death experience?
Can you ask that question again?
I certainly can.
Yeah.
Do you feel that through these practices that you've learned and these techniques that you've learned, do you feel your connection to spirit has evolved or grown more since your awakening in your near-death experience?
Oh, yes, definitely. Definitely. I've shifted my mind from being so deep in my darkness to a space of being grateful for it, because my darkness is only a reflection of my light, you know? So to be able to strengthen that ability to turn to the light instead of always dwelling on the darkness.
Well, that's beautiful. Okay. We all need that, I think, sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to talk a little bit about your Native American connection. Mm-hmm. You mentioned a tribe earlier, the Homa.
Yeah, the United Homa Nation tribe. And specifically, so your tribe will go through through your mother's clan, you know. So most of the time a tribe will have like the top tier of like, this is the group that connects us all. And then amongst that group, there will be clans. And those clans go by who your mother is. You know, that's one thing in these tribal communities. It's really about the women. It's the women are the heads, and they determine what direction you're going in. And so my mother's clan is the Ponashin tribe, which means the Oak Point people.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so the oak trees are really sacred to my people, as well as the waterways, because we work the bayous there for crawfishing, gar fishing, tugboating, and things of that sort.
Well, you definitely live in the right state to be connected to oak trees.
Yeah, right?
I mean, we have them everywhere, and our oak trees are huge. You mentioned, you know, so with the awakening and everything, and I do keep going back to the near-death experience, because I think it's something that a lot of people have had and are afraid to talk about, because it is, how do I talk to somebody about that I had this spiritual experience? After your near-death experience, did you find your connection to your tribal ancestry felt stronger, like you felt more connected to them, or was this something that you felt was separate?
I wouldn't say that I felt more connected after that point. I did leave out maybe a in my life history, a big detail of my spiritual awakening, and I feel comfortable sharing it with you.
Well, sure. Yeah. I'd love to hear it.
So when I was a baby, I had some sort of condition where I was not able to hold in nutrients. Anytime I was fed, I would instantly vomit and spit up, because the muscle that closes over your esophagus when you ingest things was not strong enough to close all the way. And back then, the medical advancement wasn't nearly where we're at today. And so my mother took me to the hospital, and they were wanting to do a surgery that gave me a 10% survival rate.
Wow.
And my grandfather, her father, he found out some way. They weren't in communication back then, but somehow my grandfather found out about this and basically like just really urged my mother to take me out of the hospital. And so my mom did that and brought me to one of our tribe's medicine women. Mm-hmm. And she performed a healing process on me then and just kind of, you know, put that, I guess the vibration that she was working in was somewhat passed on through the work that she did.
Yeah.
So I've always felt that strong connection to my ancestors. And I wouldn't say it was strengthened after that point. I would just say that my peripheral vision was widened to seeing the other entities that exist in this dimension other than our ancestors.
Because I've never had a near-death experience, which I'm going to say NDE from here on out because that's a long wordage. I've never had an NDE, and I've only known a couple of people in my life who have. And all of them have spoken very similar to how you have about your NDE, which was you came back more aware, mm-hmm. not necessarily different, just more aware. And I'm very interested in it because I just finished watching this show on Netflix called The OA. And it's a girl who has a near-death experience and she comes back and she has that sense of openness after, I guess. Mm. And so it really got me thinking about in near-death experiences after seeing that and now hearing your story. I feel like I'm going to have to start doing more research on NDEs and talking to more people about that.
Mm-hmm. It's fascinating. I would say that the biggest impact that it had on my life was creating a sense of fearlessness. You know, because once I experienced physical death, I was no longer afraid of it because it was a really beautiful thing. It was probably the one of the most beautiful experiences of my life, you know, to be able to be guided in the way that I was and to be held in unconditional love in that space. Whereas before, my concept of death was really dark and scary and, yeah. You know, but now I'm not afraid of it.
Do you remember what happened there, what you experienced there?
Yeah, I do.
Is that something you'd be willing to share or is that private?
Oh, I will share some brief details, but I won't go into full detail because I feel like when we're going through that passage, each individual is going to experience it slightly different based mm-hmm. on what you need to create that safe space for your soul to transcend.
Yeah.
You know? So my experience is different from
anybody else's,
yeah. And I feel like that's a really personal thing. But I can say that I think the commonality of it is the essence that is you simply melts into everything around you. You know, it's not so much that you're no longer in your body, but just that you're not confined to your body. You're able to go everywhere. And so I think that's usually how after that people are able to do a lot of astral traveling after that because it wakes up the neuro pathways that allow you to create that for yourself.
And that's interesting. Mm-hmm. With the mediumship work that I've done, the spirits come across, the loved ones who come across always mention this sense of returning to the cosmic consciousness mm-hmm. and that it's heaven. There's not necessarily in the Christian viewpoint or any religious viewpoint, actually. It's kind of, they all represent that the afterlife is, if you want this, it's there.
Exactly.
It is of your creation. It is an extension of your creation. Mm-hmm. And if you want a room next to Robin Williams, by all means, you can room next to Robin Williams. Uh-huh. But so they always come across with that sense of reconnecting to source. Mm-hmm. But they all mention how, you know, well, I'm watching over you, but I'm also watching over your mom mm-hmm. and your brother. And your dad or your child or your sister. And they're like, oh, so they take turns. I'm like, no, they're mm-hmm. just, they're all
everywhere. Exactly.
Just like when someone says, you know, God is in everything. Mm-hmm. They're everywhere at all the time. Mm-hmm. And people find that hard to understand because we are used to the confines of physical reality and physics.
Exactly.
And so it's interesting to have somebody else on here who can kind of validate that. on through an experience that she had. Yeah. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you. And, you know, one other thing I've realized in that experience is that the illusion of time and how much it controls our lives here, mm-hmm. and how it totally doesn't in that astral, ethereal space. Mm-hmm. You know, in here, in the earth, I was only dead for maybe a matter of maybe a minute at most, you know, who knows? It wasn't very long. But whenever I was there, there was no sense of time. I got so much done there that, like, it's impossible for them to translate. And so I did see it as, like, somewhat of, like a big hotel, you mm-hmm. know, where you have different individual rooms and you have your own specific room, and it is exactly however you want it to be.
And it's as big as you want it to be.
It's as big, it's as small, it's, you know, whatever you imagine, that's what happens instantaneously. Like,
boy,
that
wouldn't that be nice when you're traveling, you show up to the hotel and here's your room, you walk inside and it's like a villa on the beach somewhere.
Oh,
but then you
nice.
Go next door and it's like a little cottage in England.
Yeah.
Or you go next door and it's a loft apartment. Like, mm-hmm. that'd be so interesting if we could do that. But one day maybe we'll get our vibration up to that level and be able to change our physical reality.
We're getting there.
So I know through your work with spiritual work, through the water healing and the water rituals and Nia and everything, you have, you know, who do you feel, where do you feel your connection goes to? Who do you, like, is there anybody specific that you feel comes through a lot for you as a guide? Or is this something that you just feel like you're just connected to source and everything?
Yeah, I feel both. I feel it's a connection to source, but then, you know, below that, there's these, like, you could call them, like, runners, mm-hmm. so to say. And so for me, at different evolutionary points in my life, I've had different runners, you know, so mm-hmm. I'll work with different entities or beings based on where I feel I'm at that point and what do I need, you know, because each of these different deities or entities, they're specialized in different things, you know.
They're part of the one. They're just
a segment.
Yeah.
They embody a segment.
Yeah, the one, the source is the palm and the hand, and then the angels and things are just the fingers. They just a little more detailed, fine-tuned work.
Exactly.
But it's all coming from source.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I thank you for sharing all of this information, and you've had a lot of interesting things happen in your life where spirit has had to intervene. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we don't down medical science, but, you know, I can understand, you know, a parent being afraid of having a surgery done when the 10% life expectancy, and then, you know, your family members are used to going to this medicine woman in their tribe. Well, of course we're going to go do that. Of course we're going to try that. You know, you try anything you can, and then you were fine. You were amazing. You're wonderful after that. You were fine.
Mm-hmm.
And, had it not worked, you still could have gone, had the surgery, but it was something to aid in it, you know, and that's, but it worked.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've had the near-death experience where you came back from that and it was, no, this is what I'm doing. This is my higher self stepping into my body and going, no, this is the control I'm going to have. This is what we're going to do. I understand that feeling of at 13 years old, being an adult, you know, because growing up and being bullied like I was, I always knew whose parents were divorcing, what was going on. And I've had to have the maturity not to lash out at them and say, at least my parents aren't divorcing, and not use it against them. There was that maturity of that restraint,
mm-hmm.
that discipline,
mm-hmm.
that comes with maturity. I understand not to the extent that you do because of the NDE, but I understand that walking through the life of a teenager or a child as an adult, and how it's very different of a life.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of feel like you left things behind or didn't get to experience things. But then here you are having conversations with people who are in their 80s, who've been doing medium work or something for 60 years. And they're like, you're getting along with these people. And you're like, wait a minute, I'm only 30. And I'm getting along with this person who is so much my elder in mm-hmm. this community. And it's a validating experience. Mm-hmm. You know, it says that you reincarnated in the right place,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, So I thank you so much for sharing all of this with us. Is there any way someone can find out about either the tribe you started, the Flow Tribe?
Yeah, the Peaceful Warrior Flow Tribe. We have a Facebook page. And so the flow part of it is spelled the French way, F-L-E-A-U-X.
Yay, the Cajun way. I love it.
So it's Peaceful Warrior Flow Tribe. And you can find us on Facebook. And okay. As far as the Nia goes, I'm not quite to the point of teaching classes yet, but I will be soon, and I will be marketing that on Facebook as well.
And well, I'll definitely share it. Are there any other classes? Do you do any yoga? Do you teach anything like that? Or is there any way that you feel comfortable sharing where people can get in touch with you other than the Peaceful Warrior Flow Tribe?
Yeah, well, I'm also open to doing Reiki energy healing for people. And so for that, I don't have a page yet. I will be creating like a business page soon. But for right now, they could contact me via my personal Facebook page, Raylynn Caslott. Okay. And that's spelled RaeLynnCazelot.
Awesome. Well, I thank you so much, Raylynn, for joining me on my podcast radio show and sharing these amazing experiences you had in life. Is there anything you'd like to leave off with?
I would, yes. I'd like to share a story real quick. It's very quick. About so my tribe's medicine, one of their strongest medicines is the medicine of laughter. And so we have the elders have a saying that whenever women or children are laughing, please do not interrupt them. Please do not ask them to stop laughing, because the vibration that's produced through their laughter is the vibrational match to healing your heart. And so I'd like to leave this podcast on just a quick little laugh for you guys.
Well, absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Raylynn, for that. And that was wonderful. You're always laughing. And so now that I know it's a healing thing for you, I'm honored to be in the presence of that laughter.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you everyone for tuning in to another episode of Spirit and Me podcast radio show. I am thankful and honored that you continue to listen and continue to subscribe and follow me. If you want to get in touch with me, you can find me at spiritandme.weebly.com or Psychic Sean Rutherford on Facebook. Again, if you're interested in finding out more about Raylynn Caslott, look her up at Peaceful Warrior Flow, FLEAUX Tribe out of Lafayette, Louisiana. And as always, in love and light.